So made the other batters hungry, too. Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us all on this beautiful St. Patrick's Day weekend as we celebrate all the wonderful things God has done for us and continues to do. A few announcements before we get started. First of all, I want to give a big thanks to all who volunteered for our card party. Another great success. Great to see so many people come visiting our church. Thanks to all of you who donated stuff. And thank you. Thanks to all of you who donated time. Precious time on Monday night. Our Lenten programming continues this Wednesday. We're diving deeper into the question children ask about God with Mark Middleberg's book, The Questions Christians Hope No One Will Ask. And we eat from 6 to 6:30 on Wednesday, and then programming is from 6:30 to 7:30. I believe we have a sign-up sheet outside. Sign-up sheet will go around, so if you have not had a chance to sign up for a soup or a bread, it is a great meal as we gather together. This week in worship, we're looking at questions, are there animals in heaven? So the adult question we'll look at during the week on Wednesday, we'll look at suffering and how we handle suffering as adults. And we'll tie that into how we deal with suffering as kids. A reminder, the joint board is meeting on Monday at 6:30 with the elders to follow at 7. Please don't forget, our Park Street Pizza fundraiser will be this weekend. Thanks for all of you that have signed up. I will probably be contacting you all sometime this week and asking if you want to pick up on Saturday or if you'd rather we hold your pizzas and you can just pick them up on Sunday. But we thank you. We're going to be putting those up on Saturday. We've had 130 orders, so I'm excited to see between all the different churches, all the different pizzas we get to serve and really, just thank you all for supporting our kids that are going to Convo. Also, don't forget, Spring Rally is coming around the corner. April 8th to April 10th in Indiana. Sixth graders, I don't think I have those dates right, actually. Sixth graders to age 21 can go on the Mid-States camping site and sign up today. So if you haven't had a chance to sign up, please do. And thank you for that. Our kids who are coming up for the children's chat, I'm going to give you a little homework right now. I'm going to ask that before you get to the children's chat, I already let Katie and Allie know in the back, so Paige and Carissa and Nick, you may actually want to work on this as well. If you have a pen or pencil handy, I'm going to ask you before we get to our children's chat, could you draw me what you think heaven looks like? So could you draw, take a little minute or two and take a little sketching. There we go. We got Nick a pencil, Paige, Carissa, if you'd like to do that. We're going to talk about that in our children's chat as we tie that in, as we talk about do animals go to heaven or not. Does anybody else have anything they want to share? One sec. Your dad, did you want to talk about it?
Yes.
Okay. I didn't want to put you on the spot.
No. All right. So, you know, at Yorksville Moravian, they do the dinner on the run on the first Thursday of every month. Here at Schönbrunn, my father and I have decided, starting in May, we're going to do food on the fly due to the fact the airport is so close. We're going to have a little airplane as our, anyways. So what we're going to do is we're going to, second Wednesday of the month, we are going to have a meal here. We're just right now in the planning stages. We're going to set up a meeting Next week, I'm planning on putting out a sign-up sheet just to see how many people would be interested in helping us get this off the ground. We would need like 5 or 6 people just to come and help service. And we may need a couple people on Tuesday night to get stuff ready. But as of right now, we're just in the planning stages. The first one will be May 8th. So since this is March, we have a good time to get ready. But per the Yerkes for Moravian Church, we can make up to like $500 to $800 a month in profit for the church that we could use for whatever. So it's just a good idea. And if anybody has any thoughts, anybody want to help, you can either talk to me after church or my father after church, and then next week we'll have a sign-up sheet. Thank you.
Thank you for that, Letitia. I think Food on the Fly is going to be a wonderful new ministry. I'm excited to see how it grows. I've heard great things that are happening with Dinner on the Run in Yerkesville, and I see no reason why we can't be successful in doing that here. Thank you, Lloyd and Delene, for really getting the passion to get that started as we look for new ways that we can support ministry in the life of our church. Does anybody else have any other announcements? Yeah, Linda. Okay. Yeah, so get those in. You have 2 weeks to get your Easter flower orders in. So if you could please do that promptly, we would appreciate that. Does anybody else have any other announcements to share? All right, let us stand and greet one another. Good morning. Good morning, Nick. We'll race. Good morning, Angie. That's all right. Morning, Marianne. Is this, what's the first name? Bobby. Okay, gotcha. Morning, Cheryl. Morning, Tyler. I got some help to ask you for. So for the children's chat, I'm asking kids if they can draw their picture of what they think heaven looks like before that. So if you could do that, I think you could draw a good one. Maybe some Packers, maybe Kevin Love. Maybe LeBron, I don't know, he's on the fence. Good morning. Good morning, Amy. Good morning, Madison. Good morning. Good morning. Morning, Carolyn. Morning, Kara. Morning, Danielle. Oh, I get the pageant wave, huh? Please remain standing as we join together in our watchword for the week this week. Our watchword this week comes from the 27th Psalm, verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Amen. You may be seated.
please stand for the call to worship. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?
When my enemy and foe who's at me, they will stumble and fall.
God is here. God, hear our voices when we call. O Lord, be merciful and me and answer him.
Let us sing and make music to the Lord.
You may remain standing as we join together to sing for the fruit of all creation.
Remain standing and join with me on page 72 for Lent 1. Lord God, our Father in heaven, you have shown your great love towards us by sending your Son into the world to be an atoning sacrifice for our sins. We give you thanks because you have made us worthy to share in the inheritance of the saints in light, having rescued us from the power of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of your beloved Son.
In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins.
Thank you.
the Savior of the world, through you were in the form of God, you did not consider equality with God something to cling to, but emptied yourself, taking the form of a servant, being born in human likeness. You humbled yourself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross.
Your love compels us to live not for ourselves, but for you.
We give you thanks because you, our merciful and faithful high priest, have made reconciliation for the sins of the people. You were despised and rejected, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. You were wounded for our transgressions, and you were bruised for our iniquities.
Upon you fell punishment that made us whole, and by your wounds we are healed.
One with the Father and the Son, we give you thanks because you descended upon the Christ, anointing him to bring good news to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set those free who are oppressed and proclaim the time of the Lord's favor. You may be seated. From the sin of unbelief, from defilement of body and spirit, from all self-righteousness, from every neglect of our duty, from ingratitude and selfishness, from lukewarmness, from all indifference to your meritorious life and death.
We'll continue Lent 1 liturgy next week, as Lent is a season and a time to reflect and think about how we can grow closer to God. What things are we clinging to that we should not be? What things from God do we need to cling to that we should be? As we take this time to reflect and pray, let us remember first and foremost, we should give from our hearts wholeheartedly, and let us give now our tithes, our offerings, and our gifts. Please rise. Let us pray together. Dear Jesus, this Lenten season, help us pay attention to all the gifts of creation. For the beautiful flowers, the deeply rooted trees, and the wonderful animals that roam all of creation. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of your miraculous creation. Amen. You may be seated. Let us turn our hearts and our minds to a time of prayer as we reflect on our blessings and our prayer concerns that we bring forth for God. First and foremost, we pray for those in New Zealand, for the 40 people who perished in a terrorist attack there, 40 people who were killed while they were praying. We pray that nobody should have to fear for their life as they pray for God, no matter who they call God or where they call God from. We continue to keep the Eichel family in our prayer as they continue to mourn the loss of a beloved member of our church and Vicky. And we continue to pray for Rhianne Ryan, who remains at Akron Children's Hospital and continues to fight the devastating effects of the flu. For Missy Martin, as she's been dealing with some knee pain. For Billy and Mary Gardner, Linda Carter's aunt and uncle who continue to deal with some health issues. For Tammy Woods, who passed away at 50 years old after battling a long illness. She was a cousin of the Eichel family as well. For Cindy Walton, Kathy Cummings' sister-in-law, who fractured her shoulder and had surgery on Monday. And for Ken Lewis, Delene Swinderman's brother, who was hospitalized at Mercy this past week. For Heidi Baker, who's been dealing with a badly sprained foot. For Betsy Vandeveld, stage 4 cancer. She would be Marianne Creel's niece's mother-in-law. And then for Bobby Allen, dealing with prostate cancer, a close friend of Marianne's who she grew up with. We hold both these people in our prayers, and so many people who are battling cancer right now in our world. May we continue to pray for treatments and also for cures, that someday we will not have to face this giant foe anymore. In our prayer concerns, as we talk about the gift of creation, let us all give thanks for the animals and the pets and the wonderful things that have enhanced our family, that some of us get to call family, and give thanks to God for gifting us the blessing of the beautiful creation that we get to share with one another each and every day. And on St. Patrick's Day, let us also give thanks for saints like Patrick, who brought the gospel to Ireland despite being born into slavery, and a reminder that any of us are capable of doing wonderful things if we have God's best interest in our heart. Let us take a moment in silence and invite God into this time of prayer. Gracious and loving God, as we go through the season of Lent, help each one of us seek to devote our hearts, our minds, and our spirits to you, that may we can cling tightly to the love and mercy and grace that was so profound in your life that you call us to carry it over into our own personal lives. And we realize that now is a difficult season. As winter continues to thrive, help each one of us be remembered that spring and Easter are on the horizon, that your beauty is always made more profound after the stillness of cold, after the difficulty of darkness. We know, God, that you can do wonderful things. We pray for the 40 Muslims who are killed in New Zealand. Gracious God, we realize that this world is at its best when we are loving one another, when we are taking care of one another. And we remember that each one of us, no matter where we live in this world, no matter where we call home, are children of God. Help us to remember that. Help us to tend to one another. And when we think about creation and the wonderful gift we have been given, help us to remember it's more than us dominating over creation, but to be caretakers, to be brothers and sisters, and to be grateful for all the things you do to enhance our world. Because there are so many things that happen underneath the surface that we don't get to pay attention to. And there are many people on our prayer list today that we are thinking about. We ask that you provide them with your healing touch, you provide them with comfort, and you remind them that in all circumstances, you, God, will be with them. Because you, God, do not abandon us any day. And we are so thankful that you are a present God, and help each one of us be present for you in this world and in the next one to come. In your gracious, loving name we pray. Amen.
The first scripture reading today comes from Genesis chapter 1, verses 20 through 31. And God said, "Let the water teem with living creatures, and let the birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing in which the waters teem. according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number, and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to their kinds, livestock, creatures that move along the ground, and wild animals, so accordingly to its kind." And it was so. God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all of the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all of the beasts of the earth and all of the birds of the air and all of the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has the breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw what he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day.
Thank you, Letitia. Our gospel today comes from the 13th chapter of Luke, verses 31 to 35, the lament over Jerusalem. At the very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to them, "Go and tell that fox for me. Listen, I am casting out demons and performing cures today, and tomorrow on the third day when I finish my work. Yet today, tomorrow, and the next day, I must be on my way, because it is impossible for a prophet to be killed outside of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, Jerusalem, the city that kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to it. How often have I desired to gather your children together as hens gather her brood under her wings, and you were not willing. See, your house is left to you. And I tell you, you will not see me until the time comes when you say, 'Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord.'" May the reading of God's holy word reach your heart, your minds, and your actions. Thanks be to God. This time I invite our children to come forward for our children's chair. Come on up. Good to see so many smiling young faces today. You can sit right there, right? Yep. So how's everybody doing today? Good? Okay. So in Lent, we're in our second week of Lent now. And last week we looked at some important questions like, if we can't see God, if we can't hear God, and we can't touch God, how do we know God is real? And remember, we talked about the faith that we have in our heart, that we believe in God. And now this week, we're talking about a question that's very near and dear to my heart that some other kids came up well for this week. It's, do animals go to heaven? So before we answer that question, because I'm sure some of you all have some thoughts on that, my first question is, how many of you have more than two people in your family? All of you? How many of you have animals in your family? What kind of animals you got in your family, Uriah? Dog? Okay. Paige? Dog and a cat. And your dog's name is Linus, right? Rylan? You got a fish?
Yeah, five.
Five fish? Do you know their names? Did you name your fish? Aubrey, what are the names of your fish? Ooh, those are good. I think those are good names. Swimmy is a good fish name, don't you think? Eight fish. Oh, my goodness. They keep growing. Are they goldfish? Oh, okay. Gotcha. Those are special kind of fish. And then I know Tyler and Brandon used to have a very special dog named Patches as well, who is a very nice dog. So what we're going to talk about is how those pets are very special in our lives and how they can... They're a part of our family, aren't they? Sometimes they do silly things, sometimes they do crazy things like us, but they're a very important part of our family. So what I wanted to ask you guys, what I asked you to do some homework for the children's moment, is for you to draw what you think heaven looks like. So can you show me what it looks like for you? So can anybody tell me what's special about their heaven? Aubrey, what's special about your heaven? Who's the big guy? Jesus, that's a good person to have in heaven, I think. That's a good one. You got a rainbow, too? Who's got rainbows in theirs? That's good. And then, Tyler, you got a lot of sunshine, it looks like, in yours. Are there any specific people you put in there, or is that just... Oh, cool. Good one. How about you, Riley? That's a good one. Oh, cool. Paige, what'd you put in yours? Oh, yeah. Oh, cool. Gotcha. All right, what'd you put in yours? I like the clouds. Those are pretty clouds. Everybody thinks clouds got to be blue, but Araya's got some green ones, some purple ones, and some pink ones. And I think there'd be a lot of color in heaven, wouldn't there, Paige? That's a good one. Nick, how about you? Yours is like a city. I like that. Nick has got a city. So pretty good organized. A lot of good people there hanging out. I see some animals in there as well. So my sermon question, I'm going to give you guys the chance to answer it before we cover it with the adults, because I think kids have a good grasp of this. So my question for you is, do you think there are animals in heaven? Nick, what do you think? What do you think, Riley? Aubrey? Paige? Araya? Brandon? Tyler? So why do you think, yeah, it sounds pretty unanimous that everybody thinks, Nick? Everything dies, but what does that also mean? If everything dies, everything can go where? Heaven. Yep, that's exactly. Paige, what were you going to say? Absolutely. And so what I want you all to remember is when we think about the important questions like this, is sometimes... our pets die too, and that can be really heartbreaking for all of us. But I want you to remember that no matter what happens, everybody gets to go to heaven, whether it's animals, whether it's people, and I may have given away a little bit of my sermon. But heaven is great place for everybody, not because of what's there, but because of who we get to share it with. That's what makes heaven a special place. You look like you got a thought. No? You're just looking intense? Okay, that's all right. So what we're going to do now is we're going to do our joyful noise offering for Esperanza. Esperanza is a Moravian church that happens in Bethlehem. And in September, they got kicked out of their ministry setting, and they have just bought a parsonage and a church. So we're looking to help raise funds for them as they try to support ministry in a new setting. And I won't try to talk over the coins anymore. Your hand up if you haven't had a chance to put anything in. I'm sure we got plenty of kids. Here you go, Ryan. Aubrey. All right, everybody bring your coins on up. We'll put them right in the back where we found them. Thank you all very much. You're going to help some very important people. Go ahead. Right, put that down there. There you go, Tyler. Good job, Brandon. There comes Rylan. What's that? That's all right. You were working hard. So let's get in our circle. And let's have a moment of prayer, and then you can get a treat. Oh, let's get everybody in the circle. There we go. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for these kids, for their wonderful hearts. And we thank you for the questions they offer us and remind us to think about how important it is that you, God, love us and you, God, make a home for all of us. And we are so blessed for that. So please bless these kids as they go about their school weeks and home life to know that no matter what happens, no matter where they go, that they are loved by you, God. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and grab a treat. Good fruit snacks. Oh, go ahead, Brenda. There you go. Yep, that's fine. You may remain seated as we join together to sing. Let us pray. Gracious God, I ask that you open our hearts and our minds and our ears to the words that you inspire within us and help us to carry your gospel into our life and into our world. In your gracious and loving name we pray. Amen. So before we dive into our message today, it's amazing how much animal imagery is in our scripture, in our music. It was easy to pick out hymns for this service because just of how much focus is on creation. I think about our gospel today. We don't get a whole lot of time to dig into that today, but I love this gospel passage because in this passage, you get what I call John Travolta Jesus. Because Jesus gets a question, and how does Jesus respond? He tells, "You go tell that fox Herod to leave me alone, that I'm going to keep doing what I've been doing." He might as well have called him a jive turkey, for all we know. But I do just picture him just in those bell-bottom pants whenever he says that. Because it's got some sass to Jesus that we're not used to. But as we look deeper into our question for today, do animals go to heaven? It is an important question. But the first thing we need to address for that question is this week I have as much control over who gets in the pearly gates as the rest of you. There's no employee discount for me. I don't get a list beforehand. No spreadsheet that's on my desk that exists. What we are going to examine today is what Scripture and experience tells us. And we are going to interpret that the best we can to come to a conclusion. Now, some of us might view the question, do animals go to heaven, as silly or not worthy of discussion in church. But let me tell you why I think it is such an important topic to address. Our pets are an important part of our lives. As you heard from our kids, almost all kids have some type of pet. We just added another dog to our household a few weeks ago, and I can tell you that my day-to-day lifestyle has changed quite a bit. 6:45 every morning. 6:45 every morning this dog wakes me up. And I'm becoming a morning person, whether I like it or not, because I know this dog's schedule. And it's strange to me, and you think about it, those of you that own animals, especially those you have to take outside, think about the fact that every 2.5, 3 hours, you probably take that animal out 5 or 10 minutes. And think about how much time that adds up over time, just doing those little things. Or if you take your dog for a 20-minute walk every day, I think about how beneficial that was to my dad before our dog had passed away, because that dog forced him to get out and go around his community. But our day-to-day lifestyles are changed quite a bit by animals. And the really awesome thing about pets is that a pet will be your companion on your closest day and on your worst day. A pet doesn't care if you're rich, if you're poor, what your skin color is, what your gender is. All they'd care is, do you show up for me? Do you care for me? And do you love me? Think about if we use those judgments in our relationship, how much stronger our relationships would be. If we didn't focus on all the other stuff, what people looked like, how much money they had, or anything else. But do you show up for me? Do you look out for me? And do you care for me? And many people, you talk to anybody who's had a pet at some point in their life, they can remember the ministry of presence a furry companion offered them on a difficult night in their life, when a loved one died, or they were stricken with devastating sadness. And that pet may not have had any words in that moment, but its ability to show up and be with you was probably something that stuck with you. And that's a lesson for all of us, because so often we're so afraid to show up for one another because we don't have the right words. But if you're with somebody in a difficult moment, they're not going to remember the words that you had anyways. But they are going to remember that you showed up. And that's something pets teach us. But unfortunately, the difficulty that we wrestle with is that the lifespan of our beloved pets are not long. In fact, many of us, the first time we experience the sharp pain of grief is when one of our beloved pet dies. And I want you to think about the first time you experienced grief in your own life. And it could have been a human, but very often it could have been an animal that you grew up with. And most of us probably remember where we were sitting when we got the heartbreaking news from our parents that day. And the problem that we wrestle with as Christians is we often treat kids like the death of their animal or pet is something they just need to get over, to move on with in their life. And we forget about how traumatic that experience can be. In fact, a 2002 study in the Journal of Society and Animals found that the death of a pet can be as traumatic as losing a human significant other. Pets are companions, and losing them significantly changes our day-to-day lives. I think about when I was 12 years old and my toy poodle, Bears, passed away. Just a very ironic name for that little ankle biter, but I love that dog to death. And he was, truly, to that day. He was a 7-pound miniature toy poodle. And our neighbor had a St. Bernard that came up to about my head. And I swear to God, every time I let that dog out, he would go fiercely towards that St. Bernard. Even though that St. Bernard had drool piles that outweighed my dog. I could still see him sticking up and doing whatever he could. And that day that Bears did not come home, I think about how traumatic that is for a child, because there was no one to chase, no one to play fetch with. And the animal I shared my bed with was no longer there. And it was the first time death changed how I experienced life. My day-to-day world was changed by death. And it's also important to remember, kids experience grief just as adults do. In fact, sometimes it is far more intense when you're a child because you never see it coming. You don't know to expect it. Even if you can expect it, it doesn't make it easier. And it's important we take time to help our children cope when an animal dies, because death, in any regards, naturally produces anger towards God. And I remember when Bears died, I was so angry with God, because I wondered, how could a loving God let an innocent animal suffer? And we need to help our kids process their emotions rather than just replace their grief with a puppy or a kitten very quickly. And the first step with conversing with our children after the death of a pet is not to trivialize their emotions. Take them seriously, and you would be surprised at how understanding even a small child can be. They have more emotional depth than we give them credit for. And secondly, as far as addressing the question, where do animals go when they die? Look at the very first chapter of the Bible for clues. In Genesis 1, animals all across creation are created before humans. The birds of the sky, the creatures of the sea, and the wild animals across the earth. God gave the earth to the animals before he gave it to us. Now make no mistake, God does give humanity a special place in creation. Genesis 1:26 said, "Let us make humankind in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the seas and over the birds of the air and over the cattle and over the wild animals of the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth." And when you read that, Genesis 1:26, I think dominion is a bad translation for the relationship God expects us to have with the creatures of the earth. I think caretakers, people who care for things, would be a far better translation. We are called to care for creation, not just dominate creation. And as far as answering our question, do animals go to heaven? From this point on, you're getting the gospel according to Ben Lippert, so that's where we're going here. How I respond to that question is very simply, how could they not? How could animals not be welcomed in the kingdom of God? Because heaven, when we think about it, all the beautiful pictures that our kids drew, heaven is supposed to be a beautiful promised land beyond even our imagination. The story goes of the man who brought gold with him to heaven because he had so much gold on the earth, and how he begged St. Peter to bring it with him. And finally, St. Peter let this man bring this big pile of gold with him, and he finally gets to the pearly gates, and somebody's just sitting there laughing, and he goes, "What are you doing bringing paving stones with you here? That's what we build our roads with." And the lesson of that is what we put so much emphasis on life may not be as important in heaven. But heaven is a beautiful paradise. And something would be missing if we couldn't see dolphins swimming, eagles soaring, or monkeys playing. Animals play an important role in the majesty of God. I think about when you go to the zoo for the first time when you're 5 and 6, and you see how vast creation is and all the wonderful and magnificent things they do. That is a part of God's plan. And I actually know that animals feel compassion just as humans do. I just saw the story on Facebook, of Kostya, the faithful Russian dog. I don't know if any of you have seen this video, but there was this little mutt dog named Kostya in Russia, and his owner was in a terrible car accident in Russia. Terrible. and Kostya was thrown out of the vehicle, and his owner had passed away, but Kostya stayed on that same street corner every day of its life, looking for its owner, chasing cars that had similar descriptions of what his owner had. And people throughout this Russian community kept trying to adopt this dog and take it home. But every single night, Kostya would find a way back to the spot where Kostya belonged. For 7 years, that dog came back to the same spot. And that's where it got the name Kostya, which means faithful in Russian. And eventually the dog did pass away. And they have now resurrected a statue for little Kostya to remind people. Imagine if we cared that much for the people we loved, had so much compassion from our heart. And when I think of heaven, I view heaven as the greatest family reunion the world has ever known. And I believe that includes our furriest family members too. In fact, when I think of heaven, I think of those beautiful pearly gates. And I picture all the dogs in my family that have lived before me, patiently waiting in anticipation right behind those pearly gates to show me the way home. That's the vision that I get. So how could heaven be heaven without some of our greatest companions on this earth? And as we shared with this with our kids, I have a feeling heaven isn't special because of what you see, but because of who you get to share it with. That's what makes heaven special. It's not the clouds. It's not whatever creative, imaginative idea. It's about who's there with you. And the possibilities are limitless. And it really is, I believe, the greatest family reunion. And that includes people in our family and the animals of our family. So when you take some time to discuss this with your children and these important questions like this one come up, please take it seriously. And please remember that God's hands are always open to everyone. And that if you need to err on a side of anything when you think about God, err on the side of compassion. Because God loves compassion, God loves taking care of us, and God reminds us that he will lay down his life for each and every one of us. So we can celebrate that, and we can explain to our children that paradise is a place for everyone and everything. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious and loving God, as we wrestle with these questions, help us to remember that the point of our questions is to seek our source, and you, God, our source. Let us all give thanks for the wonderful animals and pets that have been part of our lives. We realize that so many of them have a shorter lifespan than what we would wish, but we realize that your eternal invitation extends to all of creation. And part of that invitation is not just getting to see the wonderful people that we have welcomed in the heavenly world, but the wonderful animals as well. But we know that you are a compassionate and loving and caring God, and we give thanks for that. Amen. At this time, I invite you to stand as we join together in song. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.